Hello, we are Ubermensch, and today we are joined by Ross Haven, author of The Hummingbird Journey to God. Ross, how are you doing today?
Yeah, good, thank you. Thank you, too.
Well, it's nice to have you on the show. So to get us started, could you tell us a little bit about your book and give us a little perspective about what it's about?
Yeah, I've been working for, I suppose, now it must be nearly 15 years with a plant called San Pedro. San Pedro is a mescaline-based cactus that grows in the Andes of Peru. And I first went to Peru in 1998, I think it was, primarily to drink ayahuasca. A lot of people have heard of ayahuasca, the vine of souls, and its reputation as connecting us with ourselves, with the universe, with the mind of God, if you like, enabling us to identify our purpose and the role of our souls while we're here. And that's what I went looking for, because I was very disaffected with my life, with my job, with the world I created for myself. So I went to Peru on a promise, really, to drink ayahuasca, that I would understand a bit more about what I was doing here and what my purpose was. But it was strange, actually, because the first night I arrived in Lima, in the capital, before I made the journey down to the Titoc in the rainforest, I happened by chance to meet a guy who was a shaman, but he was a San Pedro shaman, and offered me a ceremony after we got talking a little while. So in the deserted ruins overlooking Lima, we did an all-night ceremony there with San Pedro. So actually I went in search of ayahuasca. Ended up, the first plant I ever drank was with San Pedro in Peru. But I was still anticipating great changes from ayahuasca, so I tended a little bit to overlook what San Pedro was teaching me. And in fact, I think unless you've drunk ayahuasca a few times, it's harder to really identify with San Pedro and its teachings. I learned that, I can say that with hindsight. But it was enough to intrigue me what San Pedro had to tell. For a number of years now, I've gone back to Peru, and now I take groups back there as well, and drunk San Pedro again. And what I think San Pedro is really excellent for, compared to ayahuasca, is this, that ayahuasca will show you all the possibilities of the universe and all the options available to you and all the choices that you have, because, well, the shamans in Peru have a saying that the world is as you dream it. And that's correct. Whatever we believe to be true within ourselves, about ourselves and about the world, is the world that we create externally. So ayahuasca opens up all the possibilities within you when you think you've got a limited, narrow life. It shows you that actually you're quite infinite. But that leaves you sometimes with a number of questions like, okay, now I understand that. I understand that I've got this godlike genius within me. I can create anything I want to, but what do I actually want to create in this life, in this world right now? And that is what San Pedro shows us and tells us and does for us. It brings the world alive, and it shows us that everything is of the spirit in this reality, not in the reality that you have to go to with ayahuasca. So the Hummingbird's Journey to God was my first book on San Pedro. And in fact, it's the first book on San Pedro that anybody's ever written, which looks at the cactus and how it works. It includes a number of healing stories from people who've drunk it, and it includes details of the pharmacology of the cactus and how it works psychologically from the perspective of the shamans, those healed by it, other people who've come into contact with it, and my own story of discovery as well. In fact, I've become quite intrigued. I'm sort of a Catholic doyen now. I've become quite intrigued by San Pedro. So I have another book coming out this year as well, which is my second, which is called Cactus of Mystery.
Oh, wow.
And I'm currently working on a third one as well. The Cactus of Mystery book is a little bit different because that includes essays and articles and interviews by a number of people. Some of them are artists, musicians, shamans, people again who've been healed by the cactus, had their own experience. So it's looking at it from the perspective of creativity as well as healing. So I'm just trying to get the message out there, really, that this is the plan for now. This is what we most need in this world, which is really going to cock all around us, if you listen to the news anyway, you know. America's got its problems, Europe's got its problems, the whole world's going to end anyway in a few months' time, isn't it? Some asteroid hits us or lizards invade or something, so... You know, this is the plant that we need now because this is the plant that connects us to the earth.
It's interesting you say that because they say the same thing about ayahuasca in a lot of the interviews that we do. Do you think there's a difference between San Pedro and ayahuasca that is in the visionary sense or the type of spirit, you could say, that speaks to you or anything like that?
Yeah. A number of differences. I mean, a couple of basic ones are in the ways that the plant spirits are perceived. Most shamans say that ayahuasca is a female spirit and that San Pedro is a male spirit. So that kind of gives you an indication of how the plant takes you, in a sense. Ayahuasca can be quite courtly or motherly, protective arm around your shoulder. San Pedro just tells you how it is. It's a bit like, you know, the difference between having a conversation with your mom and your dad. You know, your mom might be quite flowery and supportive and feminine, and your dad's quite practical and just says, look, you know, this is what needs to be done, that's how you do it, and then, you know, leaves it to you to do it, because it's really your journey. So the other thing that shamans say is that ayahuasca can be winding a little bit like a snake, you know, it has that kind of snake-like form, so it coaxes you into different corners to look at different things so that you form your own view on stuff and realize what needs to be done. Whereas San Pedro, they say, straight like an arrow, it just takes you straight there so that you can see the answers there in front of you, and then it's your choice. You know, and so I think, again, that for most people, ayahuasca is probably the plant to start with, because the journeys can sometimes be extreme, can sometimes be difficult, can sometimes be quite involved with ayahuasca, but still there's that gentleness to it, by and large. It will show you what's possible, but in a very kind of kind, supportive, gentle way. Ayahuasca is not, San Pedro is not harsh, but it is very direct again. So, there's the answer right in front of you, take it or leave it, the kind of information you get with San Pedro. And, the other thing on a practical level is the nature of the journey with both plants as well, because ayahuasca, I guess, you know, I've touched it hundreds of times, and I suppose you could say that the journey is contained within about a four-hour period. With San Pedro, maybe 10 hours, 12 hours, something of that nature. But it's a different sense. The shamans say San Pedro is not visionary, or not hallucinogenic, if you like, in the same way as ayahuasca. You don't close your eyes and see pictures and patterns and images. It's not like that. It's more of a feeling, and it shows you what's real. So for instance, you know, I talk in The Hummingbird's Journey to God about my San Pedro teacher and one of her first experiences with the plant with her shaman when she was learning the medicine. And she's out in the hills in the Andes overlooking Cusco, and this is daytime, so she's wandering around there. The shaman's, you know, not intruding, but he's present in case of any problems or anything. And she looks over the hills and she sees this stairway of light going up as if carved into one of the hills in front of us. And it's a vision, of course. So with ayahuasca, you know, you would see something like that, eyes closed in your imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have an interpretive meaning. You would have to look at that symbol and, you know, think, what is this saying to me? Is it about my ascension? Is it about where I've come from? Is it about where I am on the rungs of evolution? Or, you know, whatever it suggested to you in terms of the intention you'd set. So she calls her shaman over to, you know, talk to him, to ask him to interpret this symbol for her. So he walks over to her, and she said, I could do a stairway of light in the hills. What does it mean? And he just shrugged his shoulders and said, well, you know, stairway of light. She said, well, yeah, but it's in my mind. It's in my imagination. It's a vision, so it must have a meaning. He said, no, that's a stairway of light. Take a photograph of it if you don't believe it's true. So she took a photograph of where she perceived the stairway of light to be, and, you know, she got all about it, had the film developed some months later, and when she's showing the film of her adventures to other family members, you know, one of them looks at this particular photograph and just goes, wow, what is that? And, you know, she goes over to it and looks at it. It's about the first time she's seen these photos developed as well. And there it is. You know, it's a stairway of light. So she called the shaman and said, you know, well, how can this be? That was just in my mind. It was an hallucination. It's a vision. You know, how can it be there on camera? He said, no, you know, it's not like ayahuasca. Ayahuasca is not, is a dreaming plant. It will show you the possibilities within yourself.
Hmm.
What San Pedro does is it shows you the world as it truly is, but you don't see it every day in that way because we're very narrow-minded, you know, we're socialized, we're taught to look at the world in a particular way, and if we don't believe that something is true, we won't see it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not seeing is believing, it's believing is seeing. And what San Pedro does is it opens those doors of perception and shows you the world in a whole new way. So that stairway of light actually exists, and there's a photograph of it in my book. And, you know, if you ever come with me to Peru sometime, there is a big full-color picture of it on the wall of my shaman's house, and that was literally a photograph she took of her hallucination.
Okay.
That San Pedro showed her.
All right. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It's pretty cool looking. In your book, it says in the back that you have a background in psychology. Can you tell us a little bit about that, and then how that may have helped you, or how that kind of affected you during your time with San Pedro?
Yeah, well, I mean, most academic qualifications will do both, you know, help and hinder, because while the information may be of some interest, particularly in the worthless subjects, you know, like psychology or philosophy, those kinds of things, which have no intrinsic value to society or art or English, you know, but they enrich the soul in some way. At the same time, the whole process of education is an indoctrination as well. And I began studying psychology because I wanted to understand human beings. I wanted to understand society, and I wanted to understand the human mind, and I thought it might help me. And of course, you know, the more you study psychology, the more you realize that nobody knows anything. You know? I mean, somebody will teach you about a classic psychological experiment which proves X, and then people will have replicated that experiment 10 different times, you know, in 10 different places, and found results which contradict it. So the classic experiment which proves once and for all that people are like this turns out to be, you know, non-replicatable, and it's all just guesswork again. So it depends where you cast your coins, you know, which side you're going to be on. But it turns out that the university I went to only had a very small psychology department at that time that was run by a guy who was interested in altered states, interested in the work of John Lilly, interested in Zen meditation, interested in trance. So a lot of the work that we did was around, I suppose, you know, the shamanic consciousness, shamanic states of consciousness in one way or another. He was a Buddhist as well, very into Buddhist philosophy and very into meditation and how that could affect brainwave patterns.
Hmm.
And it turns out now, you know, some years after I worked at that university, that it has now become a huge psychology department and a world center of excellence for transpersonal and paranormal psychology.
Oh, wow.
In fact, in The Hummingbird's Journey to God, and in the new book in particular, Catalyst of Mystery, there's a guy in there called Dr. David Luke, who was writing in the latter book, Catalyst of Mystery, about some experimental work that he's done with San Pedro and precognition, because his view is that if you take San Pedro, you will be able to see the future and divine the future. And he did a perfectly controlled in psychological terms,
right,
psychology experiment to test that hypothesis and find that it is true, you know, to a remarkable degree, a degree past chance. And David Luke, I met by chance, coincidence, accident, synchronicity again. And it turns out that he went to the same university as me, years after me. And it's now, you know, quite a huge and well-respected university. When I was there, we were just kind of bumbling along doing weird experiments in weird laboratories, you know. But he's becoming quite a well-known expert on parapsychology, I think, you know, beyond psychology as a consequence of studying there. So it helps and hinders, but it's like any subject that you take at any university that you go to, eventually you have to make up your own mind, because again, the world is how you dream it, you'll create any experiment to prove yourself right, and somebody with a different perspective will come along and prove you wrong. And it's like mainstream science, you know. I don't always like where you are, but in the UK, scientists week after week announce the results of some new experiment which proves that, you know, which proves that, for example, you should not drink more than 2 glasses of wine per week. And then the week after that, there's another experiment that says you should drink a glass of wine per day. Both of these are good for your heart, you know, not drinking more than 2 glasses and drinking a glass a day is good for your heart. Avoid butter with another one. You know, only have margarine because butter's bad for your heart. Now they're saying only eat butter, don't eat margarine. There is nothing, there is no evidence of anything, there is no proof of anything whatsoever. Life is just made up, you know. So it doesn't matter what the stuff is that you gather around yourself, if it's a stethoscope and a white coat or the hands-on collider, you know, it's all bloody guesswork. So you form your own view of this stuff all along, so psychology is as useful or as useless as you want to make it, really.
I'll go for that. Getting back into San Pedro, can you give us a little history of the plant and maybe some of the science that you talk about in your book?
San Pedro, we've known about San Pedro, or let's say there are archaeological artifacts around San Pedro, carvings, paintings, ritual objects which have been discovered, which go back about 3,500 years. So we know it's been used in ceremonies, and we know it's been used for a healing purpose and a visionary purpose since before the days of Christ. In those days, it was known by the name Wachuma in the local dialect. Wachuma simply means dizzy, right? It doesn't give you a description of what the plant is, and that's part of the mystery around it. You know, it doesn't say this opens the doors of perception, or this will show you God. It just says it's going to make you a bit dizzy. You know? So the shaman say it's got a certain mystery to it. But then the Spanish invaded Peru, and a lot of San Pedro shamans were put to death. Because this was regarded as black magic, what they were doing, this visionary work and this healing work, because only God is the true healer, and only God can take you to heaven, not a plant, not a shaman.
Alright. One of your fans online asked, his name's Chase, he asked, what is the average dosage taken in a ceremonial context?
You have to drink a lot more San Pedro than you do ayahuasca. Ayahuasca, you probably only got a couple of mouthfuls, if you're lucky. If you don't want to taste it, because it doesn't taste that sweet, you can gulp down the measure of ayahuasca and just get a couple of mouthfuls. With San Pedro, you're probably drinking maybe a third of a pint of this. So you're going to work a lot harder to actually get it down. It doesn't taste as bad as ayahuasca, but the consistency is quite strange. It's a bit like drinking pond slime or not or something like that. You know, a lot of people find the consistency. I don't mind it actually. It's relatively tasteless, and I know that it's worth drinking as well because I've enjoyed many journeys with San Pedro. But you have to drink a lot more of it. But it lasts a lot longer too. So an average journey, I guess, with San Pedro will be 10 to 12 hours. Maybe 4.
Oh, okay. Henry, he asked, have you had any other experiences with any other types of cactuses? He said specifically ones that look like sea cucumbers, I guess.
Well, I think different types of the San Pedro cactus, because there are varieties of it. And one of the shamans I'm working with in Peru now, he makes a mixture. When I first started drinking San Pedro, it was a pure form of cactus, pachinoy. What he does is he blends three together. He calls them the three wise men, three different types of cactus, and they have a cumulative effect, but also they come on at different times. So the journey can be quite wave-like and intense at moments as well, and they seem within you to talk amongst themselves as well. So it's like having a council of elders within you. It's kind of odd compared to the experiences that I've known before. But no, I've restricted myself to San Pedro, although this year we have a trip to Mexico to work with Peyote, which I'm looking forward to.
Neat. So going back into your current work, can you tell us a little bit more about your newest book that's going to be released soon? I'm pretty intrigued by that myself, since I haven't had a chance to read it, obviously. But is there anything that you can give us, any hints or anything that what might be in there?
Let's see, what is in there? The first book is more about my experiences with San Pedro. And, it involves accounts from other people as well, and discussions with shamans, people who've been healed. And the focus is very much on healing, how San Pedro works and what it shows you, and sort of healings that can take place. And they are remarkable. I know it's a cliche, but one guy that I know very well in Peru, have known for a number of years, he had cancer maybe 12 years ago, and that was completely eradicated by San Pedro with just two drinks. And he now, helps me, and I go over to Peru, so I know it's a true story. I know the shaman who cured him, and I know the guy himself, and they tell the same story. People have been cured of alcoholism, paralysis, all sorts of things. But those are in the first book. What I thought was lacking in that book a little bit was how San Pedro works with creativity as well. Because once you open those doors to perception, once you understand that everything's infinite, you also have access to wisdom, to vision, to creativity, to artistry. So I wanted to do some interviews with people who were working with plants in a way that benefited them, not just in terms of healing, but in terms of their aspirations and their work. So, for instance, there's interviews in there with an artist, a fine artist who does commissioned work for museums and hospitals and churches. I thought that was intriguing. He works with churches around the world, providing murals and festivals and that kind of thing for their altars. and yet his work is inspired by San Pedro. So given the, you know, the age-old rivalry between Catholicism and Shamanism, he's actually taking the shamanic work back into the church now. So it's kind of a circle completing itself, a healing function in itself, you know. And musicians as well, musicians who have been inspired by what they've seen on San Pedro's visionary journeys, and then have been able to translate that into music. And the musician I spoke to is, you know, I mean, he's been a best-selling musical artist for a number of years, and his work is truly and originally inspired by San Pedro. Of course, there are stories of healing in there as well, but and also particularly interviews and essays by the shamans themselves. So what they believe San Pedro is, how they see it working. One of the interesting interviews in there I thought was by a shaman out there called Michael, and he uses a number of admixtures, different plants which you can add to the basic San Pedro brew to achieve a number of different functions or purposes or, you know, healings with people. And he talks about the sorts of plants that he will add to the brew and how they can help and what they do. There's a lot of mystery around San Pedro, you know. The shamans don't like to teach you about how it is brewed or made. You can find recipes, you know, loads of recipes on any website, or you go to Erowid or somewhere like that, and that's how you have to make a San Pedro brew. But it won't be the brew that the shamans are using in Peru, because they're on mysterious ingredients in there which they keep secret. And I mean, I'll tell you that one of them, because I've been dieting San Pedro for a number of years and working myself to become a San Pedro shaman. And one of the plants that they add to it is lime. Just a common lime. Now I'm dieting lime at the moment as we speak. On a lime diet. Because I was shown by San Pedro 2 years ago when I first began this dietary work all of the plants that I should get to know, because they're all plants that have been traditionally used as admixtures to San Pedro. So a lot of them, you know, they all appeared in the visions, and I'm like, oh God, I'm going to be at this for years. But I'm kind of working my way through the list, and I got to lime. And lime, you can try this yourself, or your listeners could try it yourself. If you squeeze 3 limes into a glass of water, if they're sweet limes, that'll be fine, you know, just drink it. If you really need to, because it's too sour for you, you could add a little bit of pure honey to it. Now, you drink that in the morning for 3 days consecutively, and what you'll find is that your dreams become incredibly colourful, incredibly clear, and contain a lot of healing information for you. And this is the difference, again, between shamanism and science, I suppose, because a scientist will want to look at San Pedro in terms purely of the mescaline content, because they believe that is what gives you the visionary experience, you know? This is what changes our perception. They'll ignore everything else in there, but I mean, San Pedro has a bunch of other compounds and ingredients within it besides just mescaline, so we're taking out a tiny bit of what that can do. And in the brew, there are other secret plants added even to make the base mixture, one of which is lime. Now, I can tell you from my own experience just of dieting lime, that in itself produces a San Pedro-like experience. So maybe, you know, it's actually the lime that does the work. If you're drinking San Pedro in the ceremony, actually maybe, you know, in a sense, San Pedro is the carrier to enable the lime to work, because there's not much difference except you're asleep and dreaming rather than awake and wide-eyed between the experiences that lime gives you and the clarity and colour of the visions to San Pedro itself. So, you know, there's something you can do which will enhance your dreaming experience.
So are you just eating and drinking lime itself during this period of time that you're fast, or you're doing the lime diet, or are you actually eating other foods with it too, or
Well, there's some information on dieting in, I think there's some in the Hummingbird's Journey to God. There's definitely a whole section on dieting in the new book, Cactus of Mystery. It's not a complicated procedure to diet, but there are some foods that you have to avoid, and some activities as well, in order to develop a proper connection with the plant. But you don't have to fast completely. You can eat other foods if you want to, but I prefer to fast, because what you're trying to do on the diet is make a connection with one particular plant. So, I mean, for instance, you know, it could be any plant at all, because every plant has a spirit. But let's say you are dieting thyme or basil or mint or something like that, and then, you know, as part of your normal eating regime, you're eating chilies and onions and garlic and all that kind of thing, you would kill the plant that you wanted to diet, because something like chamomile or mint, it's quite a subtle flavour, whereas onions and garlic and chilli, you know, they're quite heavy flavours, so you wouldn't be able to get in touch with the spirit of the plant that you wanted to know about, because it would be overladen by other stuff. So the key to a diet is keep the other foods that you're eating really, really bland, if you're going to eat at all, so that you can make that connection. So, you know, just to take no chances on it, I prefer just not to eat.
Oh, great. Well, Ross, is there any place that people can get these amazing books of yours? You know, any websites or anything like that?
I've got a website. Yeah, my website is thefourgates.org. And the new books will be they may pull forward the publication date, but the San Pedro book, Cactus of Mysteries, is up at Amazon now anyway. It's being advertised with a publication date of December, but it may be earlier than that. The book on salvia should follow immediately after that, so probably in January, that kind of time.
Oh, great. Well, thanks so much, Ross, for allowing us to interview you on our show, and it was great speaking with you, and I really enjoyed your book. It's a great thing to have in our society, and a lot more people, I think, should definitely read that. So thanks so much.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I'm a bit biased, but a whole heap more people could really do with drinking some San Pedro. I mean, now is the time, I think, or now in the coming couple of years, when San Pedro will be the plant that will be very important for us in terms of knowing our future and making that future. Ayahuasca, as I say, gives us the possibilities, so that everything's possible. But what San Pedro does is say, yeah, from that infinite array of possibilities, this is what you ought to be doing as a human being on this planet now. And that's the more important thing, I think, you know, particularly the crises going on at the moment. The time for dreaming is, well, always going to be present, but we need some practicalities now as well. We need new men and women on this planet, and that's what San Pedro can help us with. So it's a good plan to be drinking right now.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much.
Okay, good. Thank you.